We ask everybody to open up their hearts and their neshamas, because what we're taking in, I encourage everybody. I don't even encourage you.
Implore.
That's the word. I implore you to take in, and I implore you. I really, you know, as you get older, you don't care. You're not as inhibited. Take in with that sense of responsibility to give out. That you should just be Hashem's magnetic light for all of this, and you should make it proud that you are. Okay, Rabbi Goldvich. Without further ado, welcome.
Thank you, Rabbi Tenfeld. Always a big chus to be here in the presence of such greatness, of great women that came here to get a little bit of chizik. I'll just introduce myself for 1 minute, and then we'll see how we can take all of this home this past 7 days and how we can make it real. My name is Itiel Goldvicht. I was born here in Yerushalayim. My father was born in Yerushalayim in Shaar HaChesed. My grandfather was born here in Yerushalayim in the Old City. His father and his father were all in Yerushalayim. My grandmother was born in Yerushalayim. And I'm eighth generation Yerushalmi. And in Shaar HaChesed itself, my children are sixth generation in the small neighborhood of Shaar HaChesed. So it's a big schus for me always to welcome people in Yerushalayim. I didn't pick up my American accent from Yerushalayim, though. Even though there's a lot of Americans here, when I was around 8 years old, my parents moved to New York, to Washington Heights, to Manhattan, and I grew up over there. My father is one of the Rosh Yeshivas at Yeshiva University, and I went to Breuer's, I went to Neri Yisrael, I went to the Mir, and yeah, sure, in Baltimore. I also have my years in Baltimore, but really a big, and I mentioned this a little bit on Friday night when we came up, we were with our group downstairs. A big turning point in my life was actually coming to Eisha Torah as an Avreich. I was learning in the Mir, in Kol, and I was looking for a halacha Kol that's going to be serious, but I also wanted to be Mashpia. I grew up in a house, a father is a Rav, and a grandfather, a great uncle, a lot of, that's really what I wanted to do. And when I came here was really my exposure and a push from Rav Noach Weinberg, Zichron Levracha, to not just think about being Marbitz Torah in a way that's comfortable for me, and in a way that's the classic way of, that would give us, everything that we look for. Oh, you'll be a Rav, you'll be a Rosh Kola, whatever, each one in their own clay kodesh. It's really looking for us. And he's like, you have to remove all of that and look for Am Yisrael, for Hashem's children. And that changed a lot of my avoda, and it changed a lot of the way I learn Torah and the way I try to make it relevant for people. And I remember one time, one of the Bachrim calls me and says, the Rashiva wants to see you in the office. We only overlapped 3 years. It's amazing what 3 years could do. And I go in there and he's sitting with Rav Yaakov Edelstein. Rav Yaakov Edelstein was the Rav of Hoda Sharon. He's the brother of Rav Gershon Edelstein, who was the Rosh Hashiva. And I get called up there. So I come in and I see the two big Rabbanim sitting there. And Rav Noach says, oh, this is our Israeli Avreich. Anyone you want, anything you want to do in Eretz Yisrael, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. It was my third year in Kollel here. So I wanted to know what was going on. And he wanted to do some sort of programming in his city. So I traveled there with one of the other Avreichim, was an American Avreich too, Hoda Sharon, and to understand it. At the end, we didn't do anything that summer because it didn't work out. Really, they wanted some money from Rabbi Noach. I didn't end up doing anything, but just leaving the Beis Medrash and going there and speaking with the Rosh Yeshiva and sitting in his house and trying to understand what the city was about was the first time really I left the walls of the Beis Medrash. Then eventually we started doing programs here in the building for the thousands of people who come to the Kotel Bar Mitzvah program, soldiers, and doing programs around for anyone who's comes over here. Eventually we opened up Mothers with Meaning, which is like giving tools and empowering Israeli mothers to bring Jewish values to their cities and to their communities. We partnered up with Momentum, with Lori Palatnik. We brought Israelis on this American mission. So that was a thing. And then lately we started a whole center for success with meaning. It's like empowering the entire startup world in Tel Aviv that if you want real success, success is with meaning and with values. And if you run your business with meaning and purpose and understand that it could be spiritual, so then it's going to change the entire country and eventually change the whole world. And this is what we're trying to accomplish. And as of January 1st, my partner and I, my partner Rav Shimi Kaufman, we sort of, yes, that's right. His mother is a big Chizuk Mission lady. So we sort of spun off of Aish to create this Success with Meaning Center so that it could be fully focused on Israelis and it could be successful in its own right, because the connection to Yeshivas Heisha Torah for that very secular Israeli startup world is not as natural. And Baruch Hashem, it's good. You see, I'm still here. I learn here every single day. And so that's my background. That's how I got here. Rebbetzin Reifer has hosted some of our groups in her home because we run an accelerator where young Israelis who are not connected are coming up with different startups of how they could connect world Jewry to Israel and to Jewish identity. And we brought them to New York. And part of bringing them to New York was getting to know different communities, because when they meet you and when they meet people for Shabbos and when they come into the homes and they see the Achnasas Orchim, that just takes away 95% of their questions. So we had this host several times. The Rebbetzin Reifer hosted them in her house, and it was really, really special. And we have tremendous Akar Satov, and we have Akar Satov for other things as well, but we'll stop with that. Mikta Shvacha Befaneha. That's it.
It works both ways.
Yes. Okay. You're at the end. We're at the end of a tremendous week here, and I want to make it real, because we get a lot of inspiration, and we get a lot of chizuk. But let's be honest. We go back home, and then it's we got to get our shalchmanis ready, and the costumes, and then it's Pesach cleaning, and we're back into the run, and we're back into the grit. And how do we really keep all of this? And we're in a month of Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, but we're looking around and like, how could it be that we're Marbin Besimcha? If we're very real with what's going on in Am Yisrael, it's 514 days since the break of this war, and there are families that are still don't know what's with their loved ones. There are families that their loved ones are still held in captivity. They're seeing other families that are rejoicing, but they're not really sure if that's even a full rejoicement. Last night, I sent a message to Shelly Shemtov, the mother of Omer Shemtov, who was just released a week ago because they're flying out, and I wanted to bring them to another program in New York because I'm going to New York tonight. So for a program that we're going to run in New York on Wednesday night. And she said, ETL, thank you so much. You've really been there for us. But it's too soon for Omer. He can't do it. He's just coming. He's flying on that private plane to meet President Trump, and then he's flying right back. It's a long process. It's a long... The country is in trauma. And Am Yisrael is going through difficulties. How can it be Marim V'Simcha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from us? How can we do it? What should we be doing when we come back home? What's our avoda? How could we make this real? Can we do anything to make this better? We're trying to get our own lives together. And does that really have an impact on where Am Yisrael is and where we're going? What's going on? How do we take this month and make a Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha? If I told you that there is a way to reimagine Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people, that we could actually create a brand new world, a world where there is total security here, a world where there is prosperity here, and the whole world is coming to do business with Am Yisrael, a world where there is spiritual growth in Eretz Yisrael, where everyone is being mischazik, and there is unity, and there is connection. Can you imagine a whole new world? What would that world look like? If we're able to create that world, will it bring us simcha? If we're able to see, because it's very hard for us to see it. It's hard, how can, because even if they release everyone, so what's going to be? You know how many terrorists we let go? So is it going to come back, chas v'shalom? Can we reimagine Eretz Yisrael that we won't be in this loop over and over again? But imagine we couldn't. By the way, we're starting to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's different shlichim talking about the whole region in a different way. and maybe to reimagine it physically with security different, with prosperity different, and with spirituality we have to imagine it. There's people who are coming back, they haven't done anything, but now they're coming out of captivity with so much chizuk, with so much inspiration. Just Friday night, after I was here with you, we took our group to see Agam Berger, who was just released, you know, a few weeks ago. And she was in a house here by Abba and Pamela Kleinman. And we brought our whole group there. So I introduced her to the group. I already knew her parents from a few Shabbatons that we did to give chazik. And they were mischazik. She was mischazik in captivity without all of the hafrashas chala that's going on over here. And without all of the love and the fanfare that we gave the families of hostages. Just by herself. Just by herself. Where did it come from? She said, they took away everything from me. I didn't have my family. I didn't have my clothes. I didn't have my house. I didn't have anything. There's one thing that they couldn't take away from me. That's who I am. I'm a Jew. That they couldn't take away. And therefore, I fought for it. I fought that I was going to fast on Yom Kippur. And that I'm not going to eat on Pesach. I'm not going to eat chametz. In the beginning, she refused to eat any meat or anything because she decided I'm going to be kosher. She fought for what was hers. One, they kept on moving her from house to house every 3-4 weeks. One house, there was a TV. She saw on the TV, it says, Beis Av. So she said, we counted days from that day on until Tisha B'Av so that we could fast. Together with Leary, that girl, they wrote Agada based on the songs that they could remember. That's what she said. We wrote Manishtana, we sang to each other, we tried to this. So, little girls, 19. It was their first week in the army when they were taken away. And these are, it's not your classic, oh, a tzaddik. He's a son of the Rebbe in the Holocaust who is now writing it out of memory. Simple girls from simple families that no one expected them to do anything. But yet, she showed that you can't take away from her who she is. She's a Jew. So they're taking everything away from us, but that there's a spiritual awakening. What is our avoda in this month? How could we take it back home and make sure that it stays with us and with our families for the entire year? And that maybe we will be zoche to see a whole new world. So what is the name of Adar? What does the word Adar mean? Adir, which means what? Strength, right? What else? Adar, Adur, right? Adira, right? Do you have Adira for your kids? Right? Adira is an apartment. Ladur is to live. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Adira Batachtoinim, a dwelling place here in this world. The month of Adar, the entire month of Adar, always falls out in the parshiyos where we read the building of the Mishkan. And we have to understand what the building of the Mishkan is, because the building of the Mishkan is so integral, it is the final step of the Geula. Because the Sefer HaGeula, which is Sefer Shmos, does not end when we leave Mitzrayim. That happens in Parshas Bo already. And it doesn't end when we cross Yam Suf and we see all of the Egyptians dead and our enemies are dead. Oh, that's the Geula. No, and it doesn't end when we beat Amalek, and it doesn't end when we stand at the footsteps of Har Sinai and we get the Torah. The book doesn't end. That's only halfway through it. The second half, 5 parshios, are all about building the Mishkan. That's what these parshios are about. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekude, and that's when we have our Geula. And by the way, all of the Yikra is a month after they built the Mishkan. There's a month of like training. Okay, what do you do in the Mishkan? And then we're ready to start to go. Bamidbar, they're leaving Midbar Sinai on their way to Eretz Yisrael. That is the entire book of Geula, ends with the building of the Mishkan, understanding what we're supposed to do in the Mishkan, and then we're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the building of the Mishkan is actually the final step of the Geula. And in a certain way, that's what this month is about. The month of Adar, of creating a Dira Batachtonim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to understand what is our avoda in this month, and can we still do it? Or this was just the tzivui of back then, and it's just a history book, but we know it's not a history book. It's something that speaks to us today. So what's our avoida in the month of Adar when we're reading the parshas of the building of the Mishkan? So Chazal were koveya for us, by the way. Because Chazal were koveya only in the, you know, it used to be that they read once every 3 years, they finished the entire Tanakh, the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah in Laning and Shul. Nowadays, we do it in 1 year. So all of the parshas of the Mishkan fall out exactly in the month of Adar every single year. But when it used to be once every 3 years, so how would you remember the avoda of what we're supposed to do? So Chazal were koveya, arba parshios. What are the four parshios? They were koveya that you do shkalin, and then you have zachar, and then you have para, and then you have a chodesh. What does that have to do? Is there a sequential order? Are they connected to one another? Is shkalin because berishon be'adar mashmim al shkalin? Okay, that reminds us of building the Mishkan. Zachar, nothing to do with that. That has to do with Purim. And what does para have to do with it? Para, Duma, you have to be whole. Is that because of Nisan? Because we have to be Tahar for the Beis HaMikdash, maybe? HaChodesh, because that's the first month. Are they connected to the month of Adar, or are they just connected to random things that we need to do at this time? What's going on? Is there a sequence, part of our avoda that we're supposed to be doing over here? And then if we look at the mitzvah of building a Mishkan, that itself also, sometimes I like to ask the simplest questions, because that's where we go into the depth of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants us to build a Mishkan. He needs a physical home. I never understood that. Ve'asu li Mishkan ve'shachanti besocho. I understand that I need it. I need a shul. I need a Beis Medrash. I need to go to a shul and to go to the Kodesh, to the Aron HaKodesh, and to open up the Paruchas and to daven. I need it. I need a Yom Kippur experience. But does Hashem need it? Meloi kol aretz kavoidoi. He's everywhere. So why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu need a dalet al dalet? He needs a house. What's going on over here? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, V'asu li mikdash lishmi. For me, I need it. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu needs it, we know a Kodesh Baruch Hu can do everything. So why does he ask us to build it? Because he goes out of his way and he tells us, and Viklu Sazav, Isa Kesef, Isa Nechoshes, Vetchelis, Argamo, Tolashani, Sheish, Veizim. There's 15 things over there in the Psukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of like telling us how I want you to build it. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting into the details? Right? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say over there? He says, Vedaber Shalom Moshe, Daber Neso, Veikli, Truma, and what should they do? If you count it, there's 15 different things over here. 15 different things. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting into the details? And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do it, he could do it himself. Where did we get the Avnei Miluim and the Avnei Shoyam from? Rashi says it was Danone HaKavod who brought it. We didn't have it in the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring physical things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create things. In fact, we're davening for the Beis HaMikdash, and according to the Medrash, it says that Beis HaMikdash is going to come down. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a house, he can build the house for himself. But no, he wants us to build the house. What's going on over here? And by the way, how many things are there? I counted 15 different things. And Rashi says, how many things did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to have there? If you look at Rashi in this past week's parsha, he says there's 13 things here. He missed out on two. And the Mefarshim discusses. Maybe the Avnei Miluim and the Avnei Shoyam are brought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's not part of the counting. Some say it's the dyes, it's just different colors. Tcheles, Argam, and Tolashani. There's three, but it should really be counted as one because it's all skins with different colors. There's different explanation that the Mefarshim explain on Rashi. But still, Rabbeinu Bechai says, no, there's 15. What's going on over here? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu need a house? Why does he need us to build the house? And how is all of this connected to the month of Mishanichnas Adar Ma'arim B'Simcha, the month of Purim, which Bichlal, the entire story of Purim is we have to know how it's relevant to us. We know it's the final of the stories. It's something that's not Nisbata Lasad Lavo, supposed to speak to us. And the word Purim is a Persian word. There's a lot to unravel over here. I want to focus on one Nakuda, and see how we can make this relevant specifically for you as women, as mothers, as wives, and just as who you are. This unique special avoda for the women in the month of Adar. And when we understand this, Emir Tzashem will give us the tools to understand what it is we're trying to accomplish. So the building of the Mishkan, just to review our questions. Number one is, what is the avoda in the month of Adar, which is the avoda to sort of to build the Mishkan? How is that relevant to us? And within that question, understanding and unlocking the Arba Parshios of Shkalim, Zachor, Parah, and Achoydesh. Question number two, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a physical Mishkan? He is Meloi Kalaretz Kavoida. Why does he need something that's special that's for him? What does that mean for us? Question number three, why does he get into the details of what we should be taking in order to build that Mishkan for him? And there's also a little bit of a discrepancy of the 13 or of the 15. How many? Why are we getting into the details? And then how do we count it? Don't we know how to count by ourselves? What's Rashi trying to teach us? How come Rabbeinu B'chai says that it's specifically 15? What's going on over here? And Emir Tzashem, when we unlock this, hopefully he'll give us the tools to understand how we could be Marib B'Simcha and what is our avoda in the month of Adar. So we have to understand, when was the tzivui of building the Mishkan given? When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to build the Mishkan?
After Chet HaEgel?
Is it after Chet HaEgel or is it before? There's a machlokes. Excellent. There's a machlokes. Either way, we end up building it after. Rashi tells us it's after Chet HaEgel. Really, there is no need for a Mishkan. But once there is Chet HaEgel, it's called Mishkan HaEdus, Edus LeYisrael. It's a testimony for Israel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them for the Chet HaEgel. According to the Ramban, it's an extension of Maimon Har Sinai. There is always meant to be a Mishkan because we need this physical space, sanctuary, where we could go into and we could feel that presence of Maimon Har Sinai. Either way, the actual building of it, and according to some, it's the tzivui of it as well, even though there was an intention that it should have been before, but the tzivui of it came in the form where it's also a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Now, how is this a kapara for the Chet HaEgel? And why is it in the form of building a Mishkan according to Rashi? Why is it in such a way? So we have to understand what happened with the Chet HaEgel. Because the way it's brought down in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara teaches us, we know in every single day of creation, this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Hei Amid Aleph. Vayer Vayboker Yom Hashishi. In every single day of the creation of the world, it says Vayer Vayboker Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Right? But why does it say Yom Hashishi? Says the Gemara, Hey Yisera Lamali. Why do I have an extra Hey? Melamed Shehitna Kodesh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis VeAmar Lahem Im Yisrael Mekablim Atayra Atem Iskaimim. There's a tnai, a pact, with Maisa Shemayim Varetz. If Bnei Yisrael accept the Torah on Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day, which is the day the Torah was given, Vav Sivan, right? So then, the world is going to continue. If not, it goes back to Tov Vavo. What happened on that day of Vav Sivan? According to Zion, but what happened on that day? Bnei Yisrael come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you want the Torah? It's a few days of going back and forth. And they say, yes, I do. And the way Chazal describe it is that they're standing under the chuppah. It's very romantic. It's Knesset Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're getting married. They're under the chuppah. And they say, we want this Naseh V'Nishma. And that's the Kiddushin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, amazing, I'm going to give it to you. Now I just need Moshe Rabbeinu to go up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Go up to the mountain, Veheyesham, and be there. And then when you come back down, you give Bnei Yisrael the Ksuva, which is the Luchos. And then I'm going to explain to you throughout the Midbar all of the details, how the Aseres HaDibros are actually 613 mitzvos. So they said, I do. So the Tanai is good. They go up to Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after 40 days and 40 nights. He's ready. He has the Ksuva in his hand from the Chasen to the Kala. Right? He wants to give it. And what's the Kala doing? She's dancing with another chasam. What happens to the ksuba? We break the luchos. So is the tnai of Shemayim Va'aretz, in Bnei Yisrael Mekablim HaTorah, Mutav, if not, Machzir Ani Es Olam LaTovavo, are we going back to Tovavo or not? Lechora, the world should go back to Tovavo, but we said Naaseh V'Nishma, we're in this limbo stage. We said, yes, there was Kiddushin, but there was no Nisuin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy Am Yisrael and to make Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the last chance. The last chance is Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he's the only one who wasn't sinning at the Chet Egel, because he was up there. So I'm going to, and then I'm going to redo a new bris with you. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Literally, that's why in Parshas Tetzave, Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in this week's Parsha. V'ata Tetzave, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't appear. He says, no, I have a job to protect the Jewish people, and I'm taking that seriously, and it's about your children. Lama Yomru Mitzrayim. Why should Mitzrayim say that you killed them? And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asks for forgiveness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to forgive you. Not only that, I'm going to teach you the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. I'm going to teach you the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, and you use them whenever you need to, and then you're going to have a kapara. But in order for the world to exist, because there is a pact with Shemayim Va'aretz, in order for the world to exist, you need to create a new world. That's a mini world. That when you walk into that world physically, you're able to feel what the real world was supposed to be at any given moment. Have you ever had moments of doubt in your life? Ever? Have you ever had, wow, if only I had a little bit more clarity, what to do in the next stage of my life? What to do with my kids? With Shidduchim, is this the right one or not? Should we move? Should we not? Have you ever had those doubts?
Talking to the wrong group.
Imagine you had a physical space where you could walk into, and then there's clarity. And you understand exactly what you're supposed to do. And you understand exactly who you are. And what your tafkid is. And where we should be going. There is Yoser Miyotze Mitzrayim. Had nevuah, men and women. They would go into the Beis HaMikdash and they would feel that clarity and that connection and that nevuah of that inner voice of what I'm supposed to do and where I'm supposed to go. Because really, I want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kirbas Elokim, we have that. We feel it. We go to the Kaisel, we feel a little bit. Sometimes there's like something moves. There's a little spark. There's a little inspiration. We get a taste, a small, small glimpse of that taste. When we're able to come on a chizuk mission and stand by the kotel on the last day after 7 days of going up the seven ladders. We're able to get it a little bit, but imagine you had it a lot. That's what the building of the Mishkan was. It was a place of clarity, of kirvas Elokim, but it was a place that needed to be rebuilt after the chetai. Because that place can no longer exist in the rest of the world. But rather in this physical place. And that's why it says that Yoidea Hayo Betzala Litzarf Osios Shenivru Bahem Shamayim Va'aretz. Betzalel knew how to build the Mishkan in the same letters that was building Shamayim Va'aretz. And the Medrash goes through how every aspect of the Beis HaMikdash is parallel to one of the days of the Binyan, of the creation of the world. You have the Paroiches, as Mavdil Ben Mayim Lemayim, and you have the Me'oiris, you have the Menoira, and you have the Lechem Apanim. Every single one of the things is compared to another day of the Bria. Ve'osa Ayom, of the eighth day, Ha'isa Smecha Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ke'yom Shenivru Bo Shamayim Va'aretz. Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. It's a day as if the whole world was created. And by the way, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have 6 days of creation, and the seventh day is rest. Which melacha did HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest from in the creation of the world that we need to cease on Shabbos from doing that melacha? How do we know what we're not allowed to do on Shabbos? What melacha are you not allowed to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world for 6 days and then he rested. What did he rest from? He rested from creating the world. What melacha does it take to build a world? It was only Vayomer. Elamai. What melacha? The melachos of the Mishkan. That's the Gemara and Shabbos. Because building the Mishkan is building a brand new world in the physical world. And therefore, when Shabbos comes and you're resting like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not doing the melacha of building the Mishkan anymore. Because building the Mishkan is building a whole new world. If we want to build a new world, in our lives today, we need to understand that the building of the Mishkan and the month of Adar, which is all about building the Mishkan, is building a new world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina to be in this world after we messed up. We mess up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's no room for me in here. But I'll be Meichel you, and I'll give you, you could build it. And if you build it, and at least there's a Dalet Amos where I could be present, and you give me a Shechina Batachtoinim, I'll keep the whole world going. And that's what the building of the Mishkan is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to build it. I can't build it. I need you to build it. And you know what I need you to build it out of? I need you to build it out of gold, silver, nechoshes, out of physical things that you love and that you enjoy. Because only you can take those things and build for me a physical dwelling place. And what is the Chiddush that Hashem is telling us? You think that those things are physical. They're mundane. And therefore, and by the way, we have this in our minds. Building, renovating a kitchen, that's not spiritual. That's me with my own, I want to renovate my kitchen. That's like my side where I like things nice and neat. And I also have a spiritual side. I go on the Chizuk mission. That's to fill my spirituality. I go to shul on Shabbos. I daven on Yom Kippur. It was the best davening on Yom Kippur. But that has nothing to do with renovating my kitchen. That's the side that I like, you know, I don't speak about it too much. I'm a little bit embarrassed about it because maybe it was too much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take for me the Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshes and build for me a Mishkan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says all of these 13 things because Rashi tells us it's 13 because Rashi says every single thing that you're building in the physical world, it reminds us of the Yud Gimel Mido Shel Rachamim. The physical space that we build is reconnecting to those Yud Gimel Mido Shel Rachamim and it's redoing and it gives us the Kalim to do tshuva just like the Mishkan did. Rabbeinu Bechai says there's 15 Midos over here. 15 is the combination of Yud and He. Yud and He, we know from the Gemara. What is the combination of Hashem's name Yud He? Where does it come from? Ki beka Hashem tzura ilamin, olam haba nivra b'yud, olam haza nivra b'he. But the famous Gemara, Ish ve'isha zachu shechina b'neihem. The Ish has the letter Yud, the Isha has the letter He, and it's the combination of some. Of course we need the Beis Medrash. Of course we need the spirituality, we need the shuls, and the husbands need to go to the shuls, and they need to make sure that they're connected to that world, because if our physical world is detached from Ruchnius, so then it becomes something to maybe be embarrassed about. We're chasing after this, we're going after that, we want all of these physical things, but if we're able to do, create a physical world connected to the Yud and the Hay, and we have the Ruchnius, and we have the Beis Medrash, and we have the spirituality, and we have the Tzedakah, but we understand that everything that we're doing, that we're building our home, we're building our, it's the Yud with the Hay. And the Hay of the Isha, that is Shechina B'neihem. When we're talking about Ve'asulu Mikdash Ve'shachanti B'soicham, I want to have the Shechina B'neihem. I want to have Shechina. I want to have connection. Shachain. I want to be close to you. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu asking from us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship. I want a relationship with you. The month of Adar is rebuilding our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It happened in the days of building the Mishkan in the desert, and it happens in our door, in our own homes. Yes?
Thanks for your words. Since my material is actually sitting in my kitchen, and the installer didn't come, and it was supposed to come before I left. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, not today, but another day,
So let's make that kitchen amazing, okay?
It's amazing. I just added on another piece, and it was supposed to be done a half a year ago, and it wasn't. And I keep calling them, and I'm like, okay, when are you coming? So he came, and something wasn't right that I had my guy fix up the sheetrock, and then he came.
What was that cover for? Because of course you need to finish your kitchen, but you need to finish your kitchen through the inspiration of the Chizuk Mishnah. Yeah. And that's really the message that I want you to walk away with. The month of Adar is the month of building a house for Hashem. Hashem says, you are the only ones who could build it, but you're building it for me. Why does Hashem need a Mishkan? Because when we're building it for Him, everything that we're doing brings Hashem in. When I do something for my wife, when she does something for me, it brings us closer. Ve'asuli mikdash ve'shachanti besoicham. Right? It says, ve'yikhuli truma. Take for me a truma. Take for me a truma. It should be give for me a truma. What is the taking of the truma? Because when we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? We are receiving something from it. Our husbands go out to work. We are dealing with building the physical world. And in our mind, we separate the two things. And we think, I'm a good person because I value spirituality. I'm a good person. I come on Chizuk mission. I say Tehillim. I learn Torah. I listen to Shiurim. Of course I'm a spiritual person. And I also have this side, which is shopping and taking care of things and redoing my kitchen and buying nice clothes. Okay, I allow myself to do this because I have this. Right? Sometimes we feel that way. The month of Adar says, no, this is spirituality. Building our home and buying nice clothes is what these parshiyos are about. They're about zahav, kesef, nechoshes, beautiful clothing, big day kodesh, lechavod uletiferes. It's building. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about. Yes, because spirituality, when it's done the right way, going out to work and getting money and bringing it into our mundane thing, when it's done with the right kavanah of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our house, it changes everything. I was on a Shabbaton a month ago with different rabbanim who came from around the world. It was about like more pnimius HaTorah, and there was Rav Moshe Weinberger. Amazing. From Lawrence, was it? From Woodmere. From Woodmere. He's the Rav of Esh Kodesh. He was one of the Rabbanim there. And one of the stories that he shared was when he was a Bacher. He was a Bacher in Yeshiva. So we're talking about like 40, 45 years ago. But he said this was such a deep story for him. He said, I was a Bacher in Yeshiva and I was going through a difficult time. And I needed to get Eitzah from my father and something. He said, I was in the Tkufa of Hoshech. I needed to get Eitzah from my father. He said, my father was a hardworking man. He had a laundromat. He worked there with my mother. And I knew that he's busy. My father didn't like talking on the phone for a long time. But I needed him right there. So I called up. And my mother picks up the phone. And I'm like, Ma, can I please speak to Abba? So she says, you know, he's in the middle of work. He says, yeah, but I need him for a few minutes. So he calls. His father picks up the phone. They speak for like 2-3 minutes. And then his father, you know what, can you just hold on for 1 minute? So he says, sure. So he holds on for 1 minute. And his father comes back a minute later. And then they sit and they talk for 45 minutes. And he said, it was so special for me. And it really like helped me get out of this dark place that I was in and answered some of my svekas. Said, but when I came home at night, so my mother told me, he's like, what'd you do? Do you know what you did? He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you called dad in the middle of the day. He's like, yeah, it was something like this. I didn't realize he was going to talk all for it, but he really helped me out. He's like, you should just know that Abba, when he got your phone call, so he said, okay, hold on a minute. And the store was filled with customers. And he said, Rabbi, you say, if I could ask everyone to leave, the store will be open in 1 hour. I'm closing the store for an hour. And then he spoke to you for an hour. And he felt so bad and so ashamed. So he goes up to his father and he says, you know, Abba, I didn't mean to. I knew you were in the middle of the day. I didn't realize that you were kicking out. So you were available. So his father tells him, and he said, this is what he carries with him. He said, why do you think I go to work? Why do I go to work? It's like, I go to work so I can raise my family. I go to work for you. So if I go to work for you and then you need me, how could I not stop work to be for you? So I stopped work because this is the whole reason of what I'm doing is for this. When that is so present in our mind, that is ve'asuli mishkan ve'shachanti besocho. single hour of your avoda and every single tile in your kitchen is so that my kids could grow up to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the month of Adar. The month of Adar is to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come into your home and for you to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the continuation of Maamar Har Sinai. That's why Chodesh Adar starts with Shkalim. Mashmim al Shkalim. We need to build a home that comes from Shkalim, from the physical, mundane world. And we need to understand that if we do our business with the proper values, Be'emuna, Nasato ve'nasato Be'emuna, and we do it with the understanding that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do it for the right purpose of glorifying Hashem in our world. That is Ve'yikhuli Truma, you give, but you actually get back. You're actually getting something in return. You're getting a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a relationship with your children. And you're building your Mishkan Me'at. And you know, who is the Kohen Gadol? I know who the Kohen Gadol is in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan that we needed to build. Who is the Kohen Gadol in our Mishkan Me'at?
We are the
one. You're the Kohen Gadol. How do I know? You light the candles, just like the Kohen Gadol lights the candles. You put in the Lechem upon him, right? Just like the Kohen Gadol has the Lechem upon him. And you have a Mizbeach that's filled with korbanos, with a different food.
And
what, what?
And we're not going to burn our ketores.
And you burn the ketores. Okay, that's something else. But definitely that fragrance that comes into the house. And the, and by the way,
you even clean up,
which is the deshen, right? The deshen is also part of the avoda, right? Is removing the deshen is also part of, at the end of the day, there's meals, it's all burnt and it's left over. And before you start the next day, you got to remove the deshen. Right? That's Trumas HaDeshen, which is a zgula for Ashiris, by the way. It's a zgula for... Yes, cleaning. I remember as a kid, Motzei Seder, and B'chal, every Friday night, my father would say, if you clean up the crumbs and you sweep the floor and you clean up after the meal, it's a zgula for Ashiris. It's just like the Trumas HaDeshen. It's a zgula for Ashiris. He motivated us boys. My older brother was very, very good at that, and he's much more successful than me. And I was like, oh, I don't know, all the different zgulas. But my brother was like, no, I got this. I got this. And it paid off because many years later, Baruch Hashem, I'm a rabbi, and he gives shiurim while being in real estate also. but that is the Mishkan that we're building. Yes?
Just a question. And this is all, it's so clear. It's like so really, it's so true. How do you draw the line? And it's probably more of a challenge in America than in America, to some extent. Where and how do you draw the line on, like, of course, you can justify, you know, 17,000 apartments in Legacy and, you know, saying, well, for the sake of Avodah Hashem, but how do you draw the line with living with the proper standards of, like, of course, we have a beautiful home, we want to host it, of course, I'm going to have, you know, Eshavan, it's like, but where do you draw the line and say, okay, fine, like, now we're already crossing that line of, like, is this really serving you, is it serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
The answer is that it's individual. There are different lines for different people. And we do our kavana, and we are the ones who create our reality. And things could seem the same on the outside, but they could be totally different. Two people could do the same actions, and it could be totally different. I remember when I was a little kid, so we came into school, this was in Breuers, and like all the chairs were outside the classroom, and the Rebbe said, everyone should bring a chair in. Right, so we all brought a chair in, and we sat down on our chairs. So he said, you guys all did great, but you all missed an opportunity for a mitzvah. Because you could have done the same exact thing, bringing a chair in, but it would have been for your friends. And then each of you would have done something which was a ma'ase tov, not for yourself, but for your friends. It all depends on the mindset. Two people are coming up to you, and they're like, oh, you need help with something. So you post it on the community chat, or you just ask, and then two people are offering you help. And then you're like, you know that they both really want to help you, but one, there's a catch. It's going to come back, and she really wants something in return very soon. Like, there's some invested interest that's personal. Another one is just there to really give you. And there's always that test. Which person am I? Am I buying this purse for me? Because that Yetzer speaks there. Oh, I want that purse, right? I want it. But do I also make it L'shem Shamayim? Am I able to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into my mundane avoda. The avoda in the Beis HaMikdash was physical. It was lighting candles. It was making the food. And by the way, that's the chizik, because sometimes we run out of steam. And we're like, how long can I do this for? And by the way, that's the second part. Because if we're saying that building of the Mishkan is a continuation of Maimon Har Sinai, it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Alei Alei Ahara, go up to Har Sinai, Veheyesham, and you should be there. Rashi says 40 days and 40 nights. What does that mean? If you're going up, of course you're going to be there. You're going up, you're going to be there? I don't want to bring the Pesach word out, but before you guys come back, there's already going to be a Pesach. There's going to be a Pesach. And sometimes, and it could happen on any Shabbos, but it could be, sometimes on Pesach, if you're doing Pesach at home, you're preparing and you're getting ready and you're getting the whole house ready and everything is amazing. And wow, and Pesach came. Before you know, you're cleaning up the dishes and you're stacking them up and you're like, where did my Pesach just go? I was so exhausted. I barely made it through the Seder. And then the kids were in and out of the house and like we barely got out on a trip. And like I wasn't there. If we want our homes to be a continuation of Maimon Har Sinai, Alei Elai Ahara Veheyesham. Go up the mountain and be there. Be in your house. Hey, kick everyone out so you could spend those 45 minutes with your child. And it's your married daughter and you don't have time for it and you don't have patience for it, but they're coming for Pesach and you're like, what's going to be? And of course there are hardships, but what is our mindset? Is my mindset is I have built a Mishkan for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that my kids could see it and my grandchildren could see it and my students could see it and whoever comes into my house could see it. And it takes constant avoda. And that is the avoda sakodesh of the Kohanim. And that is the avoda sakodesh of the Kohen Gadol, which is you. And that is the unique role of the month of Adar. And the unique role that is needed on the step towards the Geula. Rashi was giving us pshat. And therefore the 15 things he says is really 13. And all the Mefarshim need to explain why. Because he's saying that the Mishkan is a kapara for the Chet Ego. It's the Yud Gimel Mido Shel Rachamim. But Rabbeinu Bechai that says that it's 15, he's telling us, Baruch Hu wrote 15 for what? Because he's telling us, our 15, our home of Shechina B'Neim is the continuation of the building of the Mishkan that we need to build eternally in our generation. And that's our avoda. And on Pesach is the ultimate time where you're in your house. It's Le Mishpechoseihem. You do it in your house. And even if you go to a hotel, that's okay because you do your own Seder with your family. And what does that mean? It means that you're sitting there and you need to be present. And now I'm giving over how these physical things that we're eating and that we're drinking and that we're this. What is it? It's all like just enjoying the everything that we have. And you bring out your gold. And you bring out your silver. And you feel like royalty. We don't embarrass, we're not hiding it. You make that table look as fancy as you could possibly do. I remember my grandfather used to bring out this like different things that we never saw the whole year. And it's like, what is this? It's just for this night. So that you should see that there's Shefa. And why are we showing off Shefa? Shefa? No, you can't do Shefa. No! Shefa is bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your world. It's building that Mishkan. We're supposed to create a society of Shefa, of plenty. And that we realize that the more we have is a sign that we're more spiritual. The more we have could be more spiritual. I'm gonna pause on that for a second. Let me explain to you how that works. Ready? Because people don't realize that having plenty, if it's done the right way, could be a sign of meaning and spirituality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the chef of this world is gonna go through you. How do we make money? By the way, this is one of the transformational turning points that I try to do with young professionals to make them understand, and when you understand that making money is not just physical, obviously it is, but you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into it, then they're like, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me in my life. And then they start looking at things differently. They don't see it as a stira, as like the religious people are against the success. No, it's not a stira, it's together. Because how does...
Your best business partner.
Then what?
He becomes your best business partner.
We make money when we're able to provide a service or a product for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. How do we make money? is if you're able to provide a service or a product that helps people, the currency for you helping people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, is Zahav. Zahav is Zehav, right? Kesef is Kisufin. I want your product. I'm going to pay for it. The more money you're making means that you're able to provide a product or a service for more people, and therefore they're willing to pay for it. And it could be millions of people. And as a nation, we need to be providing products and goods and ideas. And by the way, a lot of times it's an idea that I'm able to provide for somebody else, not even something that's physical, but yet someone will pay me with money. And money nowadays is not even physical gold. It's just an understanding of how many numbers you have versus how many numbers I have. But it's enough to allow me to buy more things. But if the product and service that I do is spiritual, is meaningful, it's actually real, I'm not dealing with any bad business, so my money's kosher money. And if it's kosher money, it's coming from the world of Shefa, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I understand that he's my partner, and therefore I use, the way I made the money was spiritual, and the way I use it is spiritual, and I allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my physical home. That is what Shkalim is all about. And then comes Parsha Zachor. Because in our homes, there's always Amalek. Amalek means doubt. Amalek begimatria safek. Am I good enough? Am I a good mother? Am I really there for my children? Did I buy that purse because I want it or because I'm doing it l'shem shamayim? I'm not sure if I'm crossing the line. And Amalek tries to put doubt into everything that we do. Amalek, actually, his war is specifically, if you look at the war, it's the only war that Moshe Rabbeinu does with his hands. And it's the only time we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, lo nas lecho, he was never weak until he was 120. He was like super strong. Lo nas lecho velo kasa eno. He didn't need glasses and he didn't need anything to hold him up. But at the war of Amalek, he needs two people to help him with his hands. And it says, v'yedei Moshe kvedim. It's the only time it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says kaved. Besides one other time, where does it say the word kaved by Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm a kvad peh u'kvad lashon. Why is there a connection between the kaved of the yadayim and the kaved of the peh? Kaved means heavy. It was heavy, heavy, heavy mouth and heavy hands. And also it says that where did Amalek attack us? Berefidim, shirafu yadayim min haTorah, that their hands were weak in Torah. Torah is not hands, Torah is mouth. It should say shirafu pihem min haTorah. What does it mean, shirafu yadayim min haTorah? Because they said, Ayesh Hashem bekirbanu im'ayin. What does that mean, Ayesh Hashem bekirbanu im'ayin? You're in the clouds of glory. How could you not see Hashem in there? Because they weren't asking, is Hashem in the clouds of glory? They weren't asking, is Hashem in shul? Of course Hashem is in shul. Of course Hashem is in the Chizuk Mission. Of course Hashem is here in Yerushalayim. Ayesh Hashem bekirbanu? Is there Hashem in our homes, in our hands? When I'm cleaning? When I'm buying, when I'm shopping, when I'm renovating, Yesh Hashem bekirbeinu, that's where Amalek comes in. Rafu yadeyam in haTorah. Their hands became weak of Torah. Oh, our hands are physical, and our mouth is spiritual. Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, says the Maharal, he couldn't speak properly because he was too high. He was too lofty. Because in order to speak, it's to take down spiritual ideas into the physical world, which, by the way, is one of your superpowers. What's the superpower of the women? Asara kabin shel sicha yardu laolam. 10 attributes of speech came down to the world. And who took them all? The women. Why is that? Because the koach hadibur is the koach of taking spiritual ideas and making them very physical, very real. You build people up. You build the children up. You build your husband up in a real physical way through the words. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that. He was just spiritual. He was kvad peh. By the way, that's why he can't go and fight Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bechar lecha anashim. Who's going to fight Amalek? Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the one who goes into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoshua is the one who can bridge the gaps. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu adds in the letter Yud. Yehoshua. Not just Hoshea, the Yud and the Hey together. It's Kibeka Hashem Terulam. You're going to bring the two things together. You're going to bring the spirituality into the Hey, into the physical world. That's the binyan of Eretz Yisrael, which is one big Mishkan. And that's what you have. You have the hay, you have the koach adibur, you have the ability to bring that spiritual idea into the physical world. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu needed help Uyedei Moshe Kvedim. It's hard for him. But that connection is what held it together. You have Yeshua's going out and he's in the physical world and he's fighting that war, but he's connected to that spiritual realm. He's connected back to that base medrash. And that's what we need to do in our homes. It starts with the Shkalim. We have the doubt of Zachor. And Amalek says, there's no connection. You can't be connected back to that, to spirituality. It's two different worlds. Amalek doesn't care if you believe in God, as long as you don't bring your mundane world into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Purim is all about bringing it together. Yom Kippur, we're just davening. It's spiritual. But the highest level is not Yom Kippurim. That's only like Purim. Purim, the month of Adar, is when we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our physical, mundane world, where we're drinking, and we're eating, and we're in that physical space, and that's never going to be batel, even lasid lavo.
How do you get rid of the suffix?
You get rid of that suffix by understanding that we have to defeat Amalek. You're right. It's not pashut. It creeps in all the time. It creeps, but when you are able to get rid of the suffix, and this is, I'll conclude with this, and then we'll take that question and add one last sentence. When we are able to get rid of that suffix, you know what happens into our house? Comes the next parsha, which is Parshas Para. Parshas Para is spirituality, is getting ourselves ready to go into the Beis HaMikdash. It's understanding that our whole house is a Mikdash Me'at. It's understanding that our inner chambers is Kodesh HaKodashim. That Kodesh HaKodashim is called the Cheder HaMitos in Kabbalah. It is spirituality. It is Kedusha. I'm ready. I have spiritual cleansing when I'm going into my physical home. That is Kedusha. And then we're Zochet HaKodesh Hazeh Lachem, which is a totally new Hischatshus. Everything is new. I'm coming back to my house and it feels new. I'm bringing Kedusha into everything I'm doing. And I'm bringing excitement into everything I'm doing. I'm not getting frustrated by those, because this is what I'm here for. I'm here for the annoying grandkids and the annoying kids, and I'm here for that. And when I understand that, so then it's a full new Ischachus and my house becomes a Mishkan mat. We want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to build for us a Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Ve'asu b'mikdash, v'shachanti b'socha. You built for me a Beis HaMikdash. In the beginning, it was to build a physical one based on the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it was to build a Beis HaMikdash based on the Tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now the eternal Tzivui is for us to build it in our own homes. And it's an Avodah. It's an Avodah, but if we do that Avodah, and the Kohen Gadol of the home is able to do the Avodah Sakodesh of building that inner home, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I see that you've built a Mishkan, Ve'asu li Mikdash, Ve'shachanti Besocho. I'm going to rest inside of each and every one of you, and I'm going to build for you that Beis HaMikdash. Yes, you had a question before we wrap it up.
So first of all, it's totally inappropriate, but virtual high five right now, because
my wife is sitting there in the back, so you have to be careful.
If I could jump out of my skin right now, I would. Beyond amazing, beyond. So just sharing from my own avoda. And like hearing like how do we get rid of the suffix and all that kind of stuff, and I'm in real estate and I'm in the money and I'm seeing it all, is for me the biggest thing was that you shut down looking at everyone else's life, and it doesn't matter how many apartments someone has in Legacy because it's not your life. And like the moment we shut down the looking at everybody else around us and just focus on our own lives and our own Mikdash Ma'ad, and our own home, and our own four walls, then it takes away so much of the avoda, because you're no longer looking at everyone else's life to figure out your own. You're just
amazing.
Working on your own, as opposed to looking at everybody else and what you don't have and what they have and whatever. And then, like, many years ago, I gave, like, this class on how to get over your selfie. And, like, so it was just, like, this whole idea of, like, you know, like, why are you putting it out there? And if you ask yourself, like, why do you need to get that other purse? Or what are you doing it for? Then, like, those conversations with yourself just automatically start to get you down the road of figuring out, like, what Mikdash are you actually building?
Amazing.
For what reason.
Amazing. Amazing. Remind me your name?
Michelle Hirsch.
Michelle. So what Mrs. Hirsch is saying is, I think, a very, very real and practical tool to take what we've spoken about and to make it real in our own lives. Okay, we asked what is the avoda of the month of Adar and how can we have simcha? And what does it mean to, this is the month of building a dira for our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and how is that relevant to us? And what are the arba parshios? And is that like some sort of roadmap for us? And how do we do it? Why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu really need a house? And really the whole yesod is rebuilding that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A relationship by definition is personal. It's not the same for everyone. We go to schools and we send our children to school where they teach everyone, this is how you do it. But you know, from your personal relationships and from your children's relationships, each child is different, each relationship is different, each one of your relationships is different. And when we understand that, we understand the whole Tafkid is building a relationship. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it. And he says, you do it. And how should you do it? Do it in the world and in the tools that I've given you. 15 things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take Zahav, Kesef, Nechoshet, Tcheles, Argamon, beautiful clothes, beautiful things. Take all of that. And Am Yisrael has always been exceptional in building beautiful shuls and also beautiful homes. And it's not something to be embarrassed of if we do it the right way. That is Adar. Adur. I want a dira batachtonim in your home. In your home. And it's done through those 15 steps. It's done through the yud and the hay coming together. It's done through understanding that the money that we have is actually because we're doing something spiritual. We're providing goods for Am Yisrael and for the world even. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And in return, he brings the shefa through us. Each one like his matana and his lot. And his chelek, and we need to be sameach bechalkenu, and not be looking at other people. Am I not doing it enough? My job is to build my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu with the tools that I have. And that's why when you build it, of course, there is a bare minimum that is equal to everyone. Each one gives a machatzis a shekel for the physical, and a machatzis a shekel for the spiritual. But then it's kol isha sher yidvenu libo. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? What's your husband passionate about? What's your home passion? And bring that. That's your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your chelek. Be so happy with your chelek with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean that you don't strive for more. Of course you're striving for more. But when you strive for more, it's within your kelim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And then kol isha, chachmas lev, your wisdom, you build your mishkan. And if each and every one of you are building your mishkan in your homes, for your children, for your families, so then we're zoche for the Shechina to come down. And that's really what we're dominant for. And that's Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Number one, Ein Simcha Ke'atar Sasfekos. We remove our doubt of who I am and why do I have this and what's my... When you understand that what I'm doing is, it could be, and it is, L'Shem Shemayim, it removes so much doubt. When you have your values super clear, when you're a Safek, you know exactly what to do. Should I buy this person or not? You know, because the values are clear. And you know what and then you're happy with what you did. You don't have sfeikus within it. Of course, in practicality, it needs constant chizuk. But this is the real avoda that we have. And that avoda will bring the Shechina. And we know that the final geula will be just like the first geula. And the first geula was bizchus nashim tzidkanios nigal yisrael mitzrayim. The final geula is the same thing. We need this. We need you guys. You guys are bringing the geula. Yes.
What would you say to people in different stages of life? You know, I hope I did a good job with my mishkan. The kids are out of the house. So for people who are in the next stage of raising families, and yes, there's yontif, but you start going to your kids' houses, and there are also a lot of singles who I know who are older singles and don't have a mishkan within there. Like, what would you say to people in terms of how they can apply these concepts within their situation?
I think our life and the building of the Mishkan is a constant journey. And especially as our kids are getting older, their journey becomes our new journey, right? We had to go through our own journey to get to where we are even to get married. And then when we get married, we have our own journey of building our homes together and raising our kids. And then our kids become teenagers or start leaving the house. And then it's a whole new journey that we need to go through. And then when they're all left, or even if I had to go through this journey myself and a person who never got married or got married and is now divorced or whatever it is that they're single now, there's always journeys that we're going through. And at the end of the day, it's allowing a Kaddish Baruch Hu into our lives. And that's why it's a personal journey. It's a relationship. Once you understand that relationships are personal, that gives you the tool that... that Michelle said is that you're not looking at other relationships. The worst thing for your relationship is to judge your relationship by looking out at other people. Oh, look at them, right? Oh, how do they do it? Or they look so great, they have it all together. No one has it together, okay? Trust me. No, and as a rabbi, you get a little bit of a window because people come to me, no one has it together, okay? And you're not having it together is you're going to want yours as opposed to other people's because everyone has a different not having it together.
You're
but
dancing with the golden calf.
What?
When you do that.
Yes. Excellent. When you're doing that, you're looking at other relationships and you're dancing with the golden
amazing
calf. And then the ksuba gets ripped and you have to do it again. And I really want to wish each and every one of you that you come back out of this 7-day trip really lemala min hateva. It's so in Judaism, there's so much placed on the women. It's like we got to put the house together and you're bringing the spirituality into the house. But that's why you're the Kohen Gadol. Okay, you guys bring so much into your homes and into your families, and Am Yisrael needs it now more than ever. And you're each mashpia internally. When you're mashpia internally, it affects your husbands and your children. And then you have a few communities, a few houses in the community. It changes the entire community. It all starts from building it from within. Tremendous yashar koach. So much hatzlacha moving forward. And I can't wait to see you guys back here next year in Binyan Beis HaMikdash.